You've tuned in to Wednesday Night Bible Study at Central Baptist Church.
Good evening, everyone. We want to welcome you to our Central Baptist Church Wednesday evening Bible study. Tonight, we're actually going to be looking at passages that come out of the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 2. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn over to 2 Timothy, chapter 2. If you don't, hit the pause button, run and get it, because you don't want to miss out tonight, as we're actually going to be talking about authentic discipleship. Now, as we talk about discipleship, there's a couple of different definitions that people use in our day and age in regard to discipleship. So let me ask you tonight, when you think about that term, discipleship, what does that mean to you? What does that conjure up in your mind when you think about discipleship? I know for a lot of folks, what they think about is a believer. They say discipleship is a disciple is designed as one who follows. So many people equate discipleship as one who follows Jesus, which is true. But there's also a deeper definition of discipleship. Discipleship is about growing in God's grace. It's about growing in God's word. It's about taking that opportunity to gather around the scripture to learn what it is that the Lord wants for us to know from him. He wants us to draw closer to him. So there is a process of discipleship. Now, when we think about those two definitions of discipleship, one of those is instantaneous. When you confess your sins before the Father and you give your heart to him, salvation is immediate. That happens right there. But discipleship is a process. Discipleship is coming around the Lord's word. It's learning. As soon as you trust Christ, that doesn't make you an absolute excellent definition of what a Christian is. As you know, you grow in his word, you grow in his grace, and it's a process. So there is a process of discipleship. And now, before we get started, there's something that I want us to know and understand. God wants us to hold both of those definitions in our heart. The reason why is because it is true that you need to know him, you need to trust him, you need to give him your life and become a follower of his. But to do so means we need to get into the word. It means that we need to dig deeper. And it is great to have that opportunity to be able to do that together. So what does discipleship on the second level involve? It means being able to do exactly what we're doing right now. This is discipleship. This is gathering around the Lord's word. This is learning so that we will have an opportunity to draw close to him. It's about doing life together. Now, I want to pause for just a moment to talk about the fact that that is why church and church attendance is so important. That's why it's important to be a part of opportunities to gather around the Lord's word. You know, around here we have several discipleship groups. It's actually what we call them. There's a couples discipleship group. There's a men's discipleship group. And these folks take the passages just like what we do through the week. At the end of this message, I'll give you five scriptures or five different chapters that you'll go and just read one chapter a day for each of the 5 days. And then we come together on Wednesday evening, like we're doing right now, and we will discuss and learn from these particular passages. Folks, that's what a discipleship group is really all about. It's not about somebody who is always out there up front leading. It's about everybody learning from one another. We can learn so much when we come together. I think one of the greatest experiences in my life was having the opportunity to be a part of a discipleship group that was pastors. And a lot of people would say, oh, that was intimidating. No, we had a great time learning from each other and learning from the Word. The Lord told us this. He said that we're to go and make disciples. So when you think about those definitions, that truly is twofold. We are supposed to go out. We're supposed to share our witness and our testimony with folks. We're to point folks in toward the saving grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But it doesn't just stop there. And I think that's where we have trouble at times. We'll invest time and effort and energy into somebody and maybe have that opportunity to lead them to Jesus. And maybe we'll point them through the obedient waters of baptism. And then after that, we slap them on the back and say, well, great, now you're a part of us. But growing in God's grace and growing in his word is a process. And that is what discipleship is really all about. So this evening, we're going to look at some passages that we looked at, as a matter of fact, a week ago this past Sunday, that come out of 2 Timothy chapter 2, And we're going to begin reading with verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. It says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things." Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you now, we just do so asking for you to just open our hearts, Lord, for you to open our minds. Lord, we know that there are many distractions as we come and be a part of Bible study and the manner in which we're doing by way of a broadcast. So, Father, I pray that you would just help us to be able to put aside any distraction that might keep us from being able to hear and understand exactly what you want us to know today. Lord, I pray that above all things, as we come to you, we will have that opportunity to grow in your word, to grow in your knowledge, to grow in grace, and that we might truly be discipled tonight. And Lord, just I ask that you'd be with me as your messenger for these moments, that you truly would be the one who would be lifted up. Lord, we just ask that you would draw all men unto you, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, so this evening we're talking about authentic discipleship. Now that we've got that definition of what we're talking about, and we've looked at this text, and in our text, Paul is teaching his young disciple Timothy. And as a matter of fact, he called Timothy like his son in the Lord. Timothy was that guy that Paul really invested in, and he poured his life into to be able to disciple him, that he might go out and make disciples. And folks, that is the key thing about discipleship. Discipleship is about making other disciples. Now, I know one of the problems that we can often have in this day and age is that if we actually get together and we're part of a small group and we're discipling one another, we want to stay with each other. We enjoy that so much. We learn so much from it that we don't want to let go of it. But folks, discipleship is about multiplication. Discipleship is about not just staying within that small group forever and ever and ever. It's about the small group being able to break out and start their own small groups. That's how disciples multiply, and that is why it is so important. Enjoy the time that you have in your small group. Enjoy those relationships that you have built, but understand that that's part of a bigger picture. And the bigger picture is that if you're part of a discipleship group, you know, somewhere down the road, it's time for you to go out and make your own group, and each and every person. That is how discipleship multiplies in the church today. So Paul is teaching his disciple, young Timothy, about what discipleship means. Now, Paul referred to him as my child there in verse 1. He was like a spiritual son to him. You know, it wasn't that he was a biological son, but he was a spiritual son to him, and he was trying to impart all of this wisdom that he had gained in following the Lord. And Paul also realized that his life was eventually going to come to an end. He knew that you have got to invest into other people. You've got to invest in a younger generation to be able to go out and not only preach the word, but to disciple others. Because if we're the only ones and our generation dies off, then the Lord's work, the Lord's will, and salvation and discipleship don't go further anymore. So it's critical that we be a part of discipling this generation in which we live. So what was Timothy's instruction? He was instructed to be strengthened by what? Look at verse 1 once again. In verse 1 it says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." He's talking about grace. Now, we've heard grace defined in so many different ways, but grace is really defined as God's unmerited favor. So he told Timothy, you know, just be in the middle of God's grace and enjoy that grace. And for you and I, that is the same thing that holds true today. God's grace abounds in our lives, in every situation, in every aspect of everything that we do. We can see God's grace in our lives. Now, he gave him a specific command in verse 2. Go back and look with me at verse 2. And this is what Paul told Timothy. He said, "And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others." That right there was his marching orders in a nutshell. Now notice what he said. "The things that you have heard from me." Paul taught Timothy about salvation. He taught him about grace. He taught him about provision of God. All these things Paul imparted to young Timothy, and he told him, he said, notice verse 2, it says, "And the things you have heard from me," also witnessed, that things that Timothy had witnessed from Paul, he says, "commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others." In other words, you know, what Paul was telling Timothy is, you need to get a student for yourself, just like you were my student. You need to impart your wisdom, and spiritual knowledge into somebody else that can also, look at the latter part of verse 2, "commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Folks, this is what discipleship is all about. He is not calling people, all these people to pulpit ministry, but he's talking about interacting within their lives. Paul preached, but Paul did more than preach. Paul was about serving the Lord in his life and everything that he did, everywhere he went. And he was teaching Timothy, and he said, "Timothy, as I have taught you, you need to find those people that God has led you to that you can invest your life, your spiritual wisdom, you know, the grace that you have experienced, and invest into other people who can do what?" Key thing here, look at the latter part of verse 2, "who will be able to teach others also, that the discipleship may continue to go forward." That is, that was God's marching orders. So let me ask you today, how is it that you and I are obeying this command? Most often when I ask people, I say, "Well, give me a definition of discipleship. When you think of discipleship, what does it mean to you?" Most people will give me the answer, "Well, that means a follower of the Lord." So they kind of stop it at salvation. So now that we understand that discipleship is twofold, it's not only, you know, being a follower of Christ in the way of salvation, but it is also, you know, taking up the command to invest for us to grow, that we might invest our lives into somebody else, that they might invest in somebody else, that they might invest in somebody else. So let me ask you this. In what ways are you personally obeying this command from the Word of God in your life? How is it that you are looking at this particular issue? Have you been the person who thought, "Well, I'm a disciple because I'm a born-again believer, I'm a follower of the Lord"? It didn't stop there. That's half of it. So how are you obeying the command? You know, well, a lot of people have told me this when I've asked the question. They said, "Well, part of my problem is that you know, I don't understand. I don't know what to do. I'm not a teacher." Folks, it's about doing life together. It's about doing life in the Word. I have learned so much just in the opportunity of sitting down with other people as we've gone through scriptural passages. I want to encourage you, if you're not a part of that command, to find yourself a small group. Get in one of these small groups. If you're a couple, get in one of our couple small groups. If you're a guy, we've got a small group for guys. If you're a lady, we've got some small groups that we can do for ladies. If not, listen, let's create a group. Talk to me. Give me a call. We will get a discipleship group together. I will show you how to do this, and I promise you it'll be one of the greatest experiences in your Christian walk that you have ever had. But the Lord has given us a command. You know, we've talked about, as we go through the Word, we've given you some little key things to look for, and one of those things is a command to obey. So how are you obeying this command to go and make disciples? What happens if we fail this? Now, I mentioned just a moment ago that if we fail to go out and make disciples as the Word tells us to, then the future generations aren't going to know anything about our Lord and Savior. We will have failed Him in a tremendous way. And it is of critical importance that you and I multiply disciples as we go forward. You know, when we think about that, you know, it is necessary for authentic discipleship to continually reproduce and multiply. a minute ago, I said, we get this, we get into this habit of wanting to be together, and it's such a good group. Yeah, we'll hear that all the time. It's such a good group. I love my discipleship group. I don't want to leave this group. Folks, you've got to leave the group. Eventually, you've got to fly the nest, as they say. Eventually, it's time for you to be the person to start that group. And your idea is to train others to do the same thing and not just keep the group together. If we fail to multiply, then is it really authentic discipleship? It's something that we just kind of keep to ourselves. And that's not what God wants us to do. Authentic discipleship is that we multiply as we go forward. Now, according to Paul, there are, in what ways are disciple makers like those good soldiers that we read about there in verses 3 and 4? Look at verse 3 and 4. It says, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." Now, when I preached on this Sunday before last, on a Sunday, this was more along the line of being a follower of Christ. And it says that we have to endure hardships as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. The world will see you. If you follow Jesus as you should, then the world's going to look at you and they're going to know that you're a Christian. They're going to see the love. They're going to see something different about your life. It's not something that you can hide. It's not something you should hide, although there are people who try to do that. But you also have to understand that when that happens and when that takes place, there are going to be hardships that you are going to have to endure. There are going to be strains in relationships. There are going to be times when you're not going to be invited to things that non-Christian folks were invited to, or maybe that even you were invited to before. And those are just a few superficial things, but it is tough being a Christian. It is tough walking that Christian life. Jesus always told his disciples what they were in store for. And if you think about it, most of them were martyred for their beliefs. So I'm not here today to tell you that the Christian walk is an easy thing, and we're going to have to endure hardships as we read about here in verse 3. But verse 4 gives us something that really are marching orders. And when he says, "No one engaged in warfare." Now, there is spiritual warfare that is going on all around us. If you don't think so, we really need to have a talk about your spiritual walk. Because there's spiritual warfare in our lives. It's going on all around us. It's going on in every shape, form, or fashion, from your workplace, in your family, in your communities, in your neighborhood. There is this thing called spiritual warfare. Satan doesn't want you to see it that way, but there are those forces that are at war, and we're a part of the war. I've said this many, many times, but growing up, I still remember in Vacation Bible School, one of the big things that we did, that was back in the days when you still had the opening assembly and you came in and you did the pledges to the flags. And before we left, we always sang a song before we went out to our classes. And that song was "Onward, Christian Soldiers." Have you thought about that song? A lot of us remember that song from growing up. "Onward, Christian Soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the Royal Master, yeah, leads against the foe, forward into battle." Yeah, this whole thing is just like battle. So that gives us that reminder that there is a spiritual battle. But notice what he says as he reminds us of that spiritual battle in verse 4. He said, "No one engaged in warfare," no one engaged in that battle, verse 4, "entangles himself with the affairs of life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." In other words, is Satan made you so busy in your life that you don't have time for the things of the Lord? Now, before you answer that question, there's a lot of people who would say, "Well, no, I don't." What is it that's taking the place of your time, your effort, your energies with the Lord? What is it that is taking place of your opportunities for discipleship? You see, folks, that's really what church is. Church is discipleship. It is a time when we come together to do not only life, but to do spiritual life. It is a time when we come that we might not only learn from the pastor, but folks, we learn from one another. Church is as much about what you can offer as what can be offered to you. So think about that for a minute. What is it that's getting in the way of you being discipled as you should be, so that you can become a disciple, a discipler to somebody else. Now, I know that if I were to say to you today, you're supposed to go out this week and you're supposed to find somebody to disciple, that would scare most people to death. And part of the reason why is because, A, they haven't realized the true definition of what discipleship is really all about. B, most people have never been discipled before. C, it seems scary. Or D, and following is, it's going to take some time. It does take some time. You have to schedule this time to be with your group. You have to schedule this time to spend time in the Word of God. You have to read, as we're doing, that one chapter a day. You can start today. At the end of this message, I'm going to give you five different chapters. And what we've been talking about is take one chapter a day. Folks, it doesn't matter how good or bad that you feel like you can read. It doesn't matter how good or bad you feel like you are in your spiritual walk. Let me promise you this. The words of our Lord do not return void. So I want to make you this promise that if you take the time to go through these chapters, when we come back together next week, I'm even telling you what we're going to be talking about. You can read and you can see. The really cool part would be if everybody that is watching this broadcast had the opportunity to sit together in the same room, that we might have some dialogue, that we might have some feedback with one another. And that is really how we learn. Right now, all you're getting because of COVID-19 is monologue from the pastor. Those of you who are in my Wednesday evening Bible study know that most of the time there's dialogue that's going on so that we can learn from one another. But don't get so caught up in the things that are taking place. And remember, verse 4, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. Satan wants you to be so busy just trying to make it through this life that you don't have time for the things of God. Now, if you're honest with yourself, if you're honest with the Lord tonight, and he's put in your heart and he's saying, not only do I want you to be a disciple, I want you to be a discipler. Most people will say this, if they're honest, they'll say, you know what? I just don't have time. Verse 4 tells us, do not be entangled. Do not entangle yourself with the affairs of this life, this temporal life, this life that is going away like a vapor that appeared for only a short while. Don't get entangled in this life so that you might be able to be pleasing to the Father, pleasing to the one who has called you not only to be a son, but also to be a disciple. Now, according to Paul, this discipler's life is like that of an athlete. When you think about an athlete goes out, and an athlete is one who trains. You see people all the time running up and down the road. Most real athletes spend more time in training than they actually do participating in the contest, and they do so that they might be ready when the contest comes around. Now look at verse 5. It says, and also if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. You know, if you're an athlete, you go out there, there's a set of rules that you go by. If not, it's complete chaos. There is a standard by which you must compete. Folks, there is a standard in the Word of God that he has for each of his children. There is a standard that he has for you and I in the way that we should live our lives, in the way that we should represent ourselves and him to others. There is a standard on how we should first be discipled and then become a discipler. And he's saying, if anyone, verse 5, who competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must first be partaker of the crops. He gives us yet another example. He says, you know, the farmer is the one who actually gets to enjoy the first spoils of his crops when they come in, which it should be. You know, I mean, how many times have you seen a farmer just take all of his harvest and go down to the farmer's market and just sell every bit of it and not keep some for his own family? These words tell us that we're supposed to absorb it. We're supposed to allow the Word of God to change us. And when we become so excited about the Word of God changing us, we can't wait to tell other people. It's not something that we set back with a process of 4 points in a poem. That is not what God wants from any of us. He doesn't want us to be, you know, those people who sit back and go, oh, okay, well, this is what I got to do today. Here are the points. This is how I'm going to do it. It should be something that we're so in love with Him and we have grown so close to Him that we do naturally. I like the fact that that people get passionate about things in some ways. I heard a fellow say this past week, and I think that it's very true as well. I would love to see people become as passionate over Jesus as they were over politics, particularly during this past election. Just imagine what this world would be if we got so excited about Jesus and so passionate that we were willing to risk so much to let people know how we feel about our Savior in the same manner that people do by way of social media and with each other. Man, they're willing to make somebody mad over a political situation. You know what? If somebody's going to be mad at you, why not it be worth something being mad over? Something that one day they will understand, because one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You know, when we think over these words, look at verse 7. That's depending on what translation you're looking at. Verse 7 says, consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Let me read that to you in the ESV. In the ESV, it says, think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Think it over. That's what He's telling us to do. That's what He's asking us to do. So as we think over Paul's words there in verse 7, is authentic discipleship a program or is it a lifestyle? You know, oftentimes churches are really good at giving you a program. Here's what we've got. Do this. You know, step one, step two, step three, step four. And if we go through this program, then we're going to be doing what is right. Folks, let me tell you something. God never meant for discipleship to be a program. He meant for it to be a lifestyle. Now, I know many of you watching are probably not like me, but there have been times in my life that I have struggled with my weight. That those times are like every moment of every day. So, you know, I love what they tell you all the time. You may have even heard it before. If you've been like me and you have dieted, people will tell you diets don't work. And I understand what they're talking about. Sure, you can go on a diet and for a short period of time, you can lose a bunch of weight. But then what happens is after you quit the program, all of a sudden the weight starts to come back on. Can I get an amen? I know some of you know what I'm talking about. But see, what works is a change in lifestyle. When you make eating properly and eating healthy a part of your lifestyle, there's a lifestyle change. That is what's effective. So I want to tell you today, discipleship is not just simply about picking up a book, reading through it. It's not going through some sort of a program, but it is about a lifestyle of immersing yourself into God's Word. It is a lifestyle of getting together with others and doing life in the Word of God. And what we have to do is we have to train and we have to equip all believers for a lifestyle of making and multiplying disciples. That's our job. You know, like I said, I think initially we do pretty good. We'll want to win somebody to Jesus, but what about after that? Are we bringing them into a small group? Are we setting down? Are we discipling them? You know, we've been doing material. The material we've been using, I don't call it a program. I call it a lifestyle. We call it D-Life. How is the Wednesday evening Bible study that you've been participating in, how is that equipping you to be able to do exactly what we're talking about in finding those people in your life that you know, that you love, that you care about? Folks, I can tell you right now that there are more people who genuinely and authentically want to be a part of a discipleship group than you'll ever know. I've known groups that have met in a restaurant. And folks, by the way, you're doing a discipleship group, you don't have to do that at the church. A lot of discipleship groups will meet at a restaurant. Some have met in the early morning hour. Some meet in the evening. But they get together at least once a week to talk about the scriptures. And there was a testimony of one group that was meeting in a restaurant. They would meet for breakfast. That was an early morning group. And they would meet for breakfast. And there was a guy that was in there every day. And finally he walked over to one of the folks and he said, what are you guys doing? And he said, I see you guys in here this time every week. And he said, what are you guys doing? Y'all having a meeting or something? And one of the guys said, no, we just gather once a week and we study the Bible. And he said, well, yeah, he said, I've been listening to you. He said, do you mind if I join you? So they're like, nah. Well, this guy joined the group, actually wound up, committing his life to Christ and became part of a discipleship group just because he was witnessing what was going on with others. And he knew there was something that was special about them. So folks, it's about living the lifestyle, not just doing a program. So please don't look at it like that. Programs don't work. Lifestyle changes actually do work. So my prayer for each and every one of us is today is that we will be equipped for a lifestyle of discipleship. If you're not sure what that looks like, I want to encourage you to contact us here at the church. Give me a call, send me an email. You can find our contact information on our website, www.oakridgecbc.org. Or if you're local, you can come by. We'll sit down together. We will talk about what authentic discipleship means and how you can be a part of it. Some of you are sitting there thinking, well, I don't know if I can be a discipler right now because I need to be a disciplee. Well, we can show you that as well. Some of you think, well, maybe there's a group that I don't fit in. We can get you to start a group, and I promise you, we'll get you up and going and get you off the ground. But this is something that we need to do. Let's not get so entangled with the affairs of this world and this life that we're missing exactly what God has in store for us. That's our prayer. Let's pray today that each of us will be equipped for a lifestyle, not a program, but a lifestyle of discipleship. In just a moment, I'm going to close us in a word of prayer, but I want to give you the readings for this week. This week's readings, and remember I told you earlier, I'm going to give you five chapters. There's 7 days in a week. I'm only giving you five chapters, so I'm an easy professor. But your readings for this week, you can begin today, is the Titus chapter 1 through Hebrews chapter 1. Now, I know some of y'all probably thought, well, that sounds like I'm reading the whole Bible. These are very short chapters, okay? So this week we're going to be looking at Titus chapter 1 through Hebrews chapter 1. And next Wednesday, as we come together in our discipleship group by way of this broadcast, we're going to look at discipling the next generation. And the passages are going to come out of Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. Once again, that is Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 8, discipling the next generation. And I pray and trust and hope that you will be a part of that with me. Not only that we might be disciples, that we would be disciplers and we would be discipled. What a joy it really is to be able to have those times to come together. It's just like many, many things in life. I could tell you about it all day. I could be excited and passionate about it, but you'll never understand the joy until you experience it firsthand. Let us help you experience that firsthand. Contact us. We'll see what we can do about getting you in touch or even starting a group of a discipleship group that you might be able to reach out to those in your circle that you know, that you love, and that you might multiply disciples as the word tells us right here. Maybe you need to be a Timothy. Maybe you need to be a Paul. Whatever you may need to be at this particular point, face what that is, talk to the Lord about it, and then we look forward to having the opportunity to help you accomplish what it is that God wants you to accomplish. Don't forget, you can still be faithful to your tithe by sending that into the church. Address is on our website, but if you're mailing it, P.O. Box 533, Oak Ridge, North Carolina, 27310. There is also an e-giving tab. Maybe you're not a part of a church somewhere. Maybe you're not even in the Oak Ridge, North Carolina area. But you've been blessed by being able to be a part of our Wednesday evening Bible studies. If so, we want to encourage you, please support our ministry so we can continue to keep this up. You can do that by going to our website, www.oakridgecbc.org. You'll see a giving tab, and you can give electronically. We're praying that God will help us utilize your gifts and your offerings to be able to reach a lost and dying world with the gospel of Christ and train them to serve him. If you're in Awana, you understand that part of it. Folks, that's what discipleship is all about, training them to serve him. So just one final reminder before we pray. We are in the process of collecting the Operation Christmas Child shoe boxes this week. It's actually going to be through Sunday. Now, we've already had our in-gathering here at the church, but if you've got a box, you can still bring that by because we're a regional drop-off center. The regional drop-off or regional pickup for us is from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday. And of course, this is already Tuesday, so forget Monday. So the rest of this week through Saturday. There's also going to be a collection time on Sunday. I don't have that time right in front of me, but if you need that, you can contact us through the website, and we'll make sure that you get it. So do keep us in your prayers. I'm praying for you that not only will you be discipled, but you will become one who disciples, that we might multiply, that we might truly go out and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Would you pray with me? Father, you're good to us, and we're so thankful for each and every opportunity that you give us. Lord, I pray that you have worked within our hearts in regard to what you want us to do, that we might truly interpret your word in a great way and in an authentic and a real way. Lord, not only do you want us to give our heart to your only Son, not only do you want us to be saved by the shed blood of your only begotten Son and our Savior Jesus Christ, but Lord, you also want us to go out and make disciples. Help lead us along the way. Lord, help us not to miss out on such a critical opportunity for us to be blessed and for us to be a blessing to others. So Father, we ask that you would just give us a great rest of this week. Bring us into your house that we might worship on this coming Sunday, that we might again experience not only discipleship but also fellowship at a social distanced pace. So Lord, just give us a great week. Work in our lives as we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. I look forward to seeing you this coming Sunday.